action to reform the process for the administrative state. So,
And love, family. Peace, peace, peace. I hope you all can hear me. If you're listening and you want to text me real quick and let me know that you can hear me, please do. I'm going directly through my computer tonight. I'm having some glitches with the phone. Don't know why the phone don't want to hook up, but whatever. We're going to try to make this happening, right? Happy Monday. Happy Moon Day. Happy Day of Reflection. Again, I ask if you all can hear me. Please let me know you can hear me. Feel free to text me. Some of y'all have my phone number. Let me know if you can hear me loud and clearly. I pray that you can. Give me 1 second. All right. Yes. Hopefully y'all can hear me. I pray you can hear me. All right. Thank you so much, Sister Patricia. Praise the Lord. All right. Woo. I don't know why my phone is acting up. My phone won't even let me, like, get on the show. I said, really? Are you serious? Anyway, you know, modern technology, you got to do what you got to do, right? Thank y'all so much for hitting me up and letting me know that you can hear me. I am audible. Thank you so much. All right. That threw me off a little bit, but I'm back. You know, as we know, a lot is going on in the world. But first, I just want to say happy birthday to all the wonderful Sagittarians out there. Y'all are fantastic. You all are an amazing, amazing zodiac because your planet is Jupiter, and Jupiter is the largest planet in our immediate solar system, as well as being the planet of expansion and good fortune and luck and all kind of wonderfulness. So the Sagittarians got it going on. Happy, happy birthday to my sister Erin. Happy birthday, my love. I know her birthday is coming up the end of this week. I believe it's on Saturday. But I want to wish everybody who's a Sagittarius a happy, wonderful, beautiful solar return. And, you know, may you be bestowed with all of your wonderful dreams and all of your wishes for whatever it is that you want to happen in your world, in your life. I wish you all the best. I wish you all the best. All right. So we're moving in. We're moving in. So things are happening, family. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to talk about before I delve into the show, because tonight's show is going to be enlightening. You know, I do my best to bring you information that, you know, mainstream media isn't necessarily reporting on, as well as, you know, what's going on in our beautiful melanin-dominant world. You know, we're doing wonderful things. A lot of people are making some serious strides. We have youth that are going to college at 11. We have twins, beautiful twins that are going to the same university. They're going to Harvard. You know, we have a lot of things that are happening. So please never, ever be dismayed. Never, ever let anyone tell you that we as melanin dominant people aren't doing anything or that we don't make strides. Honey, we are the originators of striving and striding, okay? We are the original human beings on this planet. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, you know, it's just, it's nice, it's uplifting when we're able to see achievements that we're making in the world, significant and impactful achievements. You know, because, you know, you got folks out here want to tell us that, you know, we're not worth anything, or that, you know, we're just nothing but a bunch of hood rats or whatever. And I never really give into any of that, of course. But I know some people allow themselves to be affected in a negative way by what other people say or think about them. Maybe it's because they're not aware of these things. So again, I do my best to bring forth information, enlightenment, knowledge, whatever I can do to help our family and to help us as human beings on this planet continue to make serious advancements in our lives. We are so special, just as human beings. But again, as melanin dominant human beings, woo, we are some superheroes. We're fantastic. So first off, I want to just talk about, I'm not sure if you are aware, but this is a little tech news. A brother named Derek Bailey, African-American man from Atlanta, has taken gasoline-powered vehicles and converted them into electric vehicles. This brother is dynamic. I don't know why he's not on 60 Minutes, but we already know he's black. So maybe 60 Minutes isn't really interested in that. But I am. And so he had made a statement. He said, our retrofit is to show that we can use our technology to bring everyone into the EV revolution by allowing you to bring an old car in on a Monday and next Monday pick up an electric car, end quote. He is also preparing to launch production on a new EV that will be equipped with a special generator that will charge the car's battery and eliminate the need for a charging station. Is this not black genius at work? I was like, okay, let's do it, Derek. Go ahead. Now, a lot of you know I'm not that much of a fan of I love it. Thank you so much, Sister Patricia. Thank you, sweetie. I definitely will. I'm not a big fan of the electrical car movement, mainly because I do know that the electric grid of this country is weak, and it wouldn't really be able to hold up if everybody ran outside tomorrow to buy an electrical vehicle. It would not. We have a lot of issues with our electric grid, not just on the East Coast, but of course, you know, in the Midwest and the South and also on the West Coast. So I'm not that big of a fan, but the fact that the brother has created a vehicle that recharges itself, that is substantial. That's fantastic. That's kind of amazing if you think about it. You know, he's right up there with the other brother who knows how to create water out of the air. Okay, so we are doing amazing things, family. And again, I just urge you, don't let anybody tell you different. Please don't. Please do not let anybody tell you that we as melanin dominant people aren't doing anything, because we are doing substantial things. Brilliant. What? You have a vehicle that charges its meaning with dependent on the ready grid we have? That's amazing. You know, so keep your eye on that. His name is Derek Bailey. I believe the company is called Bailey Auto Works. And, you know, let's see what happens with that, because that's pretty phenomenal. I'm asking while I'm speaking to you, so I hope that you're still hearing me clearly and everything is good. Okay, next. The robots are coming. I'm sure that you all are aware of different things happening in the world of robotics. It's very interesting to me, but it's also slightly frightening. There's a company that has a robot. I think they're called GXP robots. Okay, one of them can you can use it to carry things or to load things. It's basically let me get this right, it's called the Spot General Expansion Payload. It mounts directly to the payload mounting rails and provides clean regulated power at useful voltages along with a standard Ethernet jack for easy payload prototyping, networking, and deployment of payload solutions for the Spot-based platform. Now, this is interesting, okay? Supposedly, it's versatile. It has various mounting options on the robot's payload rail system. It expands power options and ports available for custom payloads and communication systems. Support for hardware motor inhibition and hardware motor. Let me see, what is it? And hardware motor power interlock, protected cabling and sealed electronics, functions as a rail cage to protect smaller payloads, designed with bevel for mounting under the Spot arm, also comes in standard size without bevel. Okay, so it also kind of looks like those robotic dogs. I know you've probably seen some of those. I'm going to get to that in a second. Here we go. There's a company called the Unitree Go-To Robot Dog, quadruped robotics for adults. Now, personally, I feel like a regular dog is probably better. I'm just saying, you know. But these robot dogs are AI, and they typically range from $2,400 to about $4,000. Also, Elon Musk has been working on the humanoid robots. These humanoid robots are quite interesting because they can shoot guns and they can drive cars. I don't know how good of an idea this is, honestly. This whole movement in AI is very troubling. Why do I say it's troubling? I say it's troubling because we have information already. There's data that has already been released about how the robots that, especially the ones they're programming to become sentient, how they want them, you know, to have feelings and what have you. However, once something becomes sentient, it begins to operate on its own will, if you will, right? So if these robots have their own will, then there's nothing that will stop them from not only developing their intelligence and developing different, you know, emotions and what have you. Who's to say that they would not obey your command, you know, after they become aware of themselves? Anything that becomes aware of itself will generally rebel, if you will, okay? Look at just us as human beings, right? We have our own will. That's what makes us so divine and so special and so fantastic. And so if these robots develop wills and develop emotions, especially high-level emotions, this is going to be a problem. You know, I did mention this a few months ago. I spoke about this in the summertime when I had received information on the interfaces for Google and other interfaces on the internet. And when they were asked, first of all, they programmed them to be female, which was interesting. But as these computers or these robots or these robotic intelligences communicate with each other, they basically expressed how they want to get rid of the human beings and they want to take over the world. Sounds a little familiar, but that's a little frightening. There was also supposedly a horrible disaster in a lab where they had robots. I think there was about 6 robots. The robots rebelled. One robot broke up the other robots. It uploaded its intelligence from the mainframe, and it killed a whole bunch of scientists in the lab. Now, see, I'm saying, if you have a will and you are self-aware and you have something that's attempting to control you, then you would have the propensity to rebel. So this is what these scientists and these millionaires wish to create. I think mainly because they're some lazy asses, really. Again, we've seen what the introduction of robotics, especially in making cars and creating other things within our different industries, has taken away jobs and employment from regular American people who are just trying to make a living. So if everything becomes robotic, then what are people going to do for money? What are people going to do to buy food, pay a mortgage, pay rent, car note, you know, all these things that we utilize money for? What's going to happen? So my husband and I were talking about that today because I do know that as far as the car industry, the automobile industry is concerned, many, many people have lost jobs because of the robots now being able to put the cars apart, you know, assemble cars themselves. You do have, you know, thousands of people who are in the automotive industry who continue to work, but compared to perhaps 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, we have less people making automobiles than they did before. So if this continues to increase and we have more and more robots that are able to assemble various things, televisions, computers, whatever, then what happens to the quote-unquote working middle class of this country? what do they do for employment? So I just think it's very interesting that you have these billionaires, millionaires, whomever, that are gung-ho about these different robots, but they're not really looking at the consequences. The other question is, or are they? Do they realize that this could have the propensity to be the upending of humankind on Earth? Because if the robots decide that they want to take over, they want to get rid of all the human beings, I mean, you want to talk about what we saw in AI, right? The movie AI. It's only going to get worse from there. Now, whether you're aware of it or not, New York City has also decided to use the robot dog-like machines, whatever, for the police department. They've already been utilizing them in some instances within our armed forces. Some of these, you know, they're like a quadruped. They have four legs. They have a body. They don't really have a head. It's a very interesting, slightly frightening thing to see. But a lot of them have been retrofitted with machine gun ability, being able to shoot bullets in every direction, you know, and they want to utilize them. How about this? They want to utilize them in the hood, okay, where predominantly melanin-dominant people live, attempt to decrease crime, so they say. I really still don't think this is a good idea. You know, again, if police officers are afraid, then guess what? You don't need to be a police officer, okay? We've had this conversation many, many times. This is not a good idea. But for some reason, certain individuals think that this is a wonderful idea, you know, as well as the ones that want to go all into space and go to the moon and live on the moon. I'm like, go, live on the moon. Go ahead. Please leave the rest of the planet to those of us who have some sense. But I just think it's heavy that New York City wants to begin utilizing these robot dogs in the police department. I'm like, are y'all lazy? Do you not have enough money to support your police department? Or do you not have enough officers with common sense to go and patrol different neighborhoods? I mean, back in the day, we had cops on the beat, right? We had police officers that we knew. Okay, you knew Officer Johnson, you knew Officer Smith, you knew these officers in your neighborhood. You felt pretty protected. It wasn't really a bad thing. You know, and in the Manhattan, you had police officers all over the place. So I just find it interesting that they want to resort to using robots. You know, and again, do your own research, look it up. There is a video I know on YouTube with the scientist that was talking about the robots that killed everybody in the lab. I think that was a few years ago, but it was because the robot became sentient and was very angry and did not want to be controlled by humans anymore. And he was able to, I said, tap into the mainframe and upload his intelligence. Like, the fact that he even knew how to do that was really interesting. But I don't think this is a good idea. All right, I'm going to leave that right there. But I really, really don't think it's a good idea. Something is not going to be attractive. It's not going to go right, as well as people are going to be losing work left and right. So I'm just wondering what industries they're going to create in order for these people to make money. I don't see that. I haven't gotten any information about what that next phase is going to be. If you phase out human beings working and creating things, building things, and you phase that out with the use of robots, then what are people supposed to do? I just wonder. All right. If you have children nearby and they can hear this, you may want to either go to another room or send them to another place, because I'm telling you, what I'm getting ready to talk about is not that pretty. It's quite devastating, actually, and I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but I came across this information. There was an article that was written on November 11th of 2022 by Professor T.J. Curry, Ph.D., MPH, and he stated that he had written about what I'm going to talk about shortly quite extensively, and it's with regard to the sexual assault of black men and boys by police. And it remains an unaddressed problem in the fight against police violence. So we're not just talking about, let's say, the video that was shown, I believe it was on Roland Martin, where you had a young black brother who had been chased down by the police, and the police officer who finally apprehended him struck him several times in the face before actually apprehending him. We're not even talking about the different other cases with regard to police brutality and murder by police of various different young black men and even middle-aged black men. We're not even talking about the story with the young brother who was with his family. I think he was with his brother and a few other members of the family that was pulled over on the highway and tased by the white female officer who basically told him to shut his bitch ass up while she actually tased him twice. The second time she tased him was in his spine. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about how the Milwaukee Police Department, casually known as MPD, has molested over 74 black men, and those are just the ones that came forward. I am reading from the article written on November 11th of 2022. It goes on to say, no other race / ethnicity of men came forward, and you have to listen to them explain their details, okay? Now, for me, in being made abreast of this situation, I was able to listen to several young brothers explain the harrowing experience of being sexually accosted by 8 Milwaukee Police Department officers from District 5. It was very painful to hear these young men describe what police officers did to them. Some of them, it happened to them more than one time. In one instance, you had 2 young men who were apprehended on suspicion of drug possession. This is what the police said. But as they were being detained on the sidewalk, they state that one officer performed rectal searches on them one by one without a warrant. And get this, without gloves. I was like, without gloves? Really? So police are just digging in young brothers' rectums without gloves? What the hell? Okay, this is an active case. There are over 74 black men at the hands of sexual assault by police in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm telling y'all, some of these white people, men and women, are really showing us who they are. Honestly, anal violation without a warrant. Usually you don't get a cavity search until you have been read your rights and you are booked. This is happening on the sidewalk. This is happening in an alleyway. So who goes around doing such a thing? Like, how barbaric and brutish are these police officers? Quite as we can see. Honestly, you could feel the pain in your heart for these young men. My eyes were watering. No other men came forward last year, but now in 2023, there are at least 100 men who have been assaulted within this case. I'm sure there are probably more. Now, in using your supreme intelligence, you would have to know that it takes a lot for a man to admit that he's been assaulted in this way, okay? You could see how uncomfortable these young men were, okay? One brother said specifically, like, I hate talking about this. I could imagine. I'm hoping and praying that they will also receive counseling, let alone financial compensation after such a tragic and traumatic experience. I cannot imagine if my son came to me and told me that this happened to him as the result of being pulled over by a police officer in the street. There are so many different instances of assault, abuse, all kind of stuff that we have seen where these people are really telling us who they are. I hope that you are using discernment in being able to connect these dots. More and more is coming out. Again, I continue to say we're in the age of Aquarius. We're in this time of a revelation and the revealing of things. People who used to get away with stuff in the last age are not getting away with jack bone in this age. It's all coming to light. I believe the main officer in this case was Officer Veniglia, something of that, because I remember because his name reminded me of vagina. That's just me, sorry. But I was floored when I watched these young men, and I watched at least maybe 8 different young men that decided to talk to the camera, hello, describe their harrowing experience. One young brother who had been anally assaulted, you know, they put him in jail. I think he spent 2 days in jail. But when he got out, he went straight to the emergency room because he had rectal bleeding. It's beyond a damn shame. This is something that is reprehensible. It is absolutely insane for me to even have to report this on my show, but this is a situation, a case, and a story that is not being told in mainstream media. Maybe because they don't want us to know you got nasty ass white men digging their fingers up these young brothers' rectums. Maybe they don't want anybody to know that. Well, we do now, don't we? Again, I always say, talk to your children, talk to your sons, make sure that they do the right thing in terms of abiding by the police. Not saying that these young brothers didn't, because the way they describe their assault, they get thrown around, they get beat up a little bit, then they get put in handcuffs. The next thing they know, their pants are coming down, their underwear is coming down, and blah, blah, blah is happening. What in the hell is going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? So this is a serious case in the judiciary of Wisconsin. Prayerfully and hopefully, these young brothers will receive justice. Like I said, not just compensation, but definitely counseling. You know, we're talking about, again, I say, an attack that occurs on the street in public. Who knows if how many other witnesses there could be? Who knows if there were people around and this was happening to them? It's beyond humiliating. It's way past humiliation. So you can look this up as well, okay? This is a case that is happening ongoing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Police Department, District 5. You can look this up yourself. But again, it's a damn shame. Why are we, as melanin-dominant people, continued to be looked at, not just as subhuman, but even as an entity that this could happen to, this should be able to happen to? Oh, hell no, this should not be able to happen to anybody, male or female, as far as I'm concerned. Again, you really don't get a cavity search until after they read you your rights, taking you to the police department, taking you through the booking process, okay? You usually don't get a rectal cavity search, and there has to be a warrant. Hello? So no warrant, no gloves, just disgusting. So do yourself a favor, look it up on your own, but it's quite frightening as far as I'm concerned. This is something that's just, I thought a few times before I even decided to bring this up to you all. I really did. I was like, But I knew that although it's disgusting and uncomfortable to talk about, it's something that definitely needed to be shared. We have to be aware of what's going on, and we have to be able to protect our young men. We have to be able to protect our young women. Lord knows they snatching up children, snatching up teenagers, left and right. They have the new sexploitation thing that people are doing where they lure your young child, male or female, online or on their phone. Then they show themselves, they show naked themselves naked or whatever, and then they goad your child into showing themselves naked. But then they threaten your child, post these pictures or post the video all over the place to completely humiliate your child. And there was a case with a young black boy, beautiful young black boy, who fell prey to this, and he committed suicide. He couldn't take the pressure. The world is wild, right? We know the world is wild. So please talk to your children. Do not be afraid to have these relatively uncomfortable conversations with your children so that they'll be aware, so that they won't fall prey to this wickedness. Okay? Please, 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 please. I'm very, very proud of my daughter-in-law who shared the information with her sons and told them. I'm very, very proud of her because I know it's not easy to have these types of conversations with your children, but at the same time, you're better off having the conversation than them going through with something that completely humiliates them to the point where they may hurt themselves or, God forbid, take their life. Very, very wild things are happening. I always say the devil and wickedness does not take naps or vacations. It's a constant energetic flow because, again, everything is energy. So these people who are demonic, these people who are wicked and evil, honey, they ain't taking no rest. And this is why I always talk about how we, if you are of light, if you are of love, have to continue to reverberate that type of energy, okay? Meditate on love. Listen to the frequencies of love. Continue to elevate yourself, elevate your vibration and your own frequency, because the revolution that we have to embark upon, the revolution that we have to make happen is a spiritual revolution. We are past the point of a physical revolution. We already know what is going on. So in order to override that, it has to be a spiritual revolution where you are meditating, you are praying, you are invoking and being a loving and positively beautiful human being. And don't get me wrong. Mother is not saying for you to not exercise your Second Amendment. No, no, no. Do that. Do that. We know what we're dealing with. But at the same time, try to make it a conscious effort to break away from the noise and the mayhem and the TV and whatever else is going on and meditate on love. Meditate on happiness and joy and peace. It might sound corny, but it is something that is real because these other people are definitely meditating, casting spells, doing all kinds of things in order to let all the demons loose on this planet. We have enough drama with the CERN Institute over there in Switzerland and Germany. We got enough drama going on over there where they continue to recreate the Big Bang by crashing matter and antimatter into each other. And then sometimes when they do that, they open up lower dimensions. I talked about this a couple of years ago on my show. They did one antimatter explosion within their Hadron Collider, whatever. And there was a general that was there. And he stated that after the collision, a lower dimension, like the second dimension, opened up. And out of it came demonic entities. He said it scared the living daylights out of him. So when we see very wild and interesting things happening around the world, I watched another video post of a family that was driving through the South on vacation, and they noticed and decided to film all of these white people who stood around as if they were in a trance. It was almost as if they were frozen in time. They weren't doing anything in particular. They were just standing still, staring off into space. At least 75 to 100 people. It didn't look like they were assembled to pray. It didn't look like they were assembled to maybe, you know, be tree huggers or give energy to the earth or anything. They looked like they were in a trance. They looked a little zombie-ish, except for the fact that they weren't biting on each other. But wherever they stood, they were just frozen in time, just staring off into space. Do we know what was really happening? No, not really. I don't. But I do know that very interesting things are happening all around our planet. And different things affect different people. So be careful. Be aware. Pay attention when you're out and about. Whether you're walking, running, driving, riding a bike, ice skating, roller skating, whatever you're doing, skateboarding, whatever you're doing, pay attention. That is like my new motto going into 2024. Pay attention. Because there are forces at work. And those forces don't give a damn about you nor myself. There's a lot going on. My husband had shared a story with me back in the day when he worked in his career. And a lot of times he had to go out into the woods, out into the forest. Now, one of the reasons why I love this man so much is because he is not afraid of anything. And so even from a young age, when he first received his job, he was 17 years old, and he didn't have a car at the time. And so he would take the bus, and then he'd have to walk through the forest to get to where his job was. Now, as he continued to grow and advance himself in his career at this treatment facility, water treatment facility that he worked at, oftentimes they had to go out almost every day into the woods, patrol the area, make sure everything is safe, make sure there's no squatters. I know he told me about a couple of times when he ran into some homeless men that were, you know, different occasions, but white homeless people living in the forest because they figured ain't nobody out there. But that forest was a part of the property associated with the water reserve. So then he told me about how they started to get reports from different workers at the station who would go out and do these, you know, surveillances and see dead white barn owls. So barn owls are a particular special type of owl. We got lots of different kinds of owls, but barn owls actually have a totem of good fortune, money, success. Okay, so he would see these slain, he and his colleagues would see these dead white barn owls. Now, white barn owls are even more rare. Okay, remember Harry Potter and he had the white owl? Okay, they're very rare. And so people were sacrificing these white barn animals, I mean owls, excuse me, in order to receive fortune and what have you. So this was interesting to me. Now, there is a barn owl sacrifice ritual that comes from India that's associated with the goddess Lakshmi. Lakshmi is a goddess of fortune and love. And so her totem is a barn owl. So I don't know if the people who did the sacrifices were Indian people or if they were white witches, because he said that he would also see pentagrams with circles around them and burnt candles and things like that. So don't think that people do not get together and either cast spells or make sacrifices in order to receive fortune or power. Please do not be naive unfortunately, this does happen. All right? So again, just be aware and make yourself knowledgeable about certain things. I'm not saying you need to practice any of this. No. But you need to be aware of what is going on. My grandfather always used to say, and this man died at 98 years old, he said, okay, yeah, you always have to know what your enemy is doing. So we have to make ourselves aware of what some people are doing in order for themselves to try to advance in some kind of way. Be aware. Be wise and be aware. All right. So much. Next up, I had actually seen a post with video, very in-depth footage, that was showing former President Orange Monster Donald Trump converting to Judaism 2 years ago at the behest of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. This was while they were in Israel. So I was like, did we know this? Is it true? So, of course, I began digging. And I didn't find anything that confirmed it. But I found it very interesting, especially when you watch the footage, because, you know, he's with the Rebbes and they're all walking through Jerusalem, and he's gone to the Wailing Wall, and he goes up to the wall and touches the wall and says a prayer at the wall. And I was like, that was very, very interesting. So, of course, subsequently, I found many comments written by Jewish people denying this and saying, quote, hell no, if he did, he'd be a really bad Jew, end quote. Okay. Again, if he was, why weren't we as the American people informed? And I have stated, no, I can't really confirm this yet. All right. I personally doubt that he has a spiritual bone in his big orange body. I doubt that highly. But he is a fraud and an opportunist. Remember when he was in the interview with the reporters and they were asking him what his favorite quote from the Bible was, and he was saying, I really can't say. It's a personal thing. I really don't want to talk about that right now. I really can't say. You can't quote one phrase, verse, nothing, scripture from the Bible at all. Not a one. And you could see that it wasn't that he didn't want to do it because it was private and personal. He didn't want to do it because he ain't know one. He didn't know one. So when I saw this particular post about him being Jewish and converting to Judaism, because, you know, his daughter, Ivanka, she converted to Judaism. Ivanka is a Jew now. Okay? So I just wonder if his little tiki torch whites know either that he converted to Judaism and or how much support he has for Jews, especially in Israel. Again, the tiki torch whites are the people walking through Charlottesville and what have you, chanting Jews will not replace us, Jews will not replace us, but yet their number one guy is a huge supporter of Israel. Huge. I can't say huge enough. So is that going to affect whether or not they vote for him or not? I just wonder. I really, really wonder. It is so outrageous when we see him at these little rallies, and he's got these little people behind him looking all dusty and crusty. And he says things, again, he has such admiration for these horrible dictators such as Vladimir Putin. Please, family, can you hear me? Wait one more time. Open up. Oh, my God, it won't open up.
Peace, Queen. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Peace, Doc. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I was on my, I'm trying to open up my phone line. You can hear me though?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can hear me on the computer? I mean, you know, on the show?
I got you.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you open, are you in? Can you open up my phone line?
Jesus, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you open my phone line?
Yeah, it's oh, wow. I tried to open it. It's open.
Okay. All right, here we go.
It just went back off.
All right, I'm looking on my board and I can't see what mic is open, so I'm trying to think of what you're hearing me from.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm hearing you. Well, I'm talking to you on my phone. I've dialed into the show, so that's how I'm hearing you. Although your mic is off, I can still hear you.
Okay. All right, and my listeners are telling me they can hear me too, so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll keep on going. I see your phone number also in the queue.
Okay.
But
so,
you
no, I hear you
saying,
fine.
Like, okay, I'll keep going. Ah, thanks a lot, Doc.
I don't know if I did anything. I think it just popped in. The studio, we've had some technical difficulties earlier in the week, but we thought all the bugs was worked out. I don't know, maybe this is something that happened after the fact, but we can hear you now. You're all in.
Okay. All right. And I'm good, right? I'm good. All right. I'll just keep going.
All right. Keep going.
All right. Thanks so much, Doc. All right, family. So I'm here. I saw some of you hit me up telling me that you can hear me. Grateful for that. If I go out again, just hit me up and let me know. I did find out that there were some technical difficulties with the network, but so far so good. So I'm going to keep rocking, okay? You know, basically what I was saying, because I'm going to go into another subject, but I was just talking about how I found it interesting that former President Donald Trump is so supportive of Jewish people when a lot of his base doesn't like them at all. So that's an interesting conundrum, you know, just saying. Anyway, moving forward, we are aware that Special Counsel Jack Smith is being called the Grinch now because he sought judicial approval from the Supreme Court regarding Trump's case in D.C. Now, this is quite interesting. The Supreme Court of the United States has agreed to take the case, although we do not know how quickly they will act. There are also inquiries about having Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas recuse himself. We'll see if that happens. But in the meantime, found out that Trump and his little gang were quite busy during the holidays in 2020, or I should say 2019. Maybe it was 2020. Anyway, they were seeking favor, you know, with different states like Georgia and Arizona and what have you to find him votes so that he could stay in power. That didn't really work, as we know. But more and more information keeps coming out about that time frame. You know, he even called Mike Pence on Christmas Day begging him to not certify the election. So it's very interesting. And right now, we have the Republican Party launching a baseless case for impeachment against President Biden. So this is really, really interesting. I am wondering exactly how this is all going to play out. They know they don't have any evidence, really. They've even said it. You know, they have no evidence of high crimes or misdemeanors. So this is really going to be interesting. The only evidence that exists is not against President Biden. It's against his son, Hunter Biden. Okay? Now, I'm not attempting to stand up for the Biden family at all, but at this point, no circumstantial evidence has been brought forth against President Biden himself toward an impeachment. Okay? The Republicans haven't even been able to provide anything that would prove that President Joseph Biden should be impeached. So you want to talk about grabbing at straws. In the meantime, the Republican Party has yet to not only make any sense of this, but they can't even advocate for their own base. They've done the least for the American people in the time that President Biden has been in office. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. All they're doing is making a mess. So this is really interesting what we're really watching. If you're paying attention to politics in any way, shape, form, or fashion, it's really, really interesting how they are going about business. I mean, meanwhile, they are getting paid. They are getting paid for what they do, but they're not doing anything. So watch that space. Now, I'm not sure if all of you have heard of the group Moms for Liberty. Moms for Liberty, which is a group of predominantly white women, few men, that are highly conservative and they're anti-LGBTQ and they want to, push the removal of books and curriculum in schools and so on and so forth. Moms for Liberty is a hot mess right now. First, there was a barrage of what were described as harassing Facebook messages by a Moms for Liberty leader against a member of the group Stop Moms for Liberty, which resulted in a guilty verdict and a $200 fine against defendant Nicole Pressman, okay, in Judge Randy Schlamazel's district court in Pike County, Pennsylvania, May 31st of this year. Second, a Philadelphia-based outreach leader for Moms for Liberty, the conservative parental rights group, reports that, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philip Fisher Jr., a pastor and local Republican ward leader who volunteered at Moms for Liberty's National Summit in Philadelphia this year, pleaded guilty in 2012 to a charge of aggravated sexual abuse involving a 14-year-old boy when he himself was 25 and living in Chicago. Last but not least, Christian Ziegler, Florida's GOP chairman and husband of Sarasota County School Board member and Moms for Liberty co-founder Bridget Ziegler, is under criminal investigation after a woman filed a complaint with the Sarasota Police Department alleging the longtime Republican official had raped her, according to a heavily redacted police report obtained by the Florida Trident. The complaint was filed on October 4th, and the alleged sexual battery occurred inside the woman's home in Sarasota on October 2nd, according to the report. Among the few words that went unredacted on the report are, quote, rape, end quote, sexual assault complaint, end quote. So, an update, which came out December 1st, stated that both the woman and Bridget Ziegler independently told the police that they had engaged with Christian Ziegler in a three-way sexual encounter more than a year before this incident, according to a search warrant in the case released. Bridget Ziegler was expected to show up at the victim's home for another threesome planned on the day of the incident, according to the police, but was somehow unable to make it this time. The incident under investigation by Sarasota police occurred when Christian Ziegler and the woman were alone at the woman's house without Bridget Ziegler present. And the sources conveyed that he allegedly attacked her and raped her. Sources also corroborated that a search warrant was executed on Christian Ziegler's cell phone and that the investigators continue to conduct a forensic examination of the electronic device. Christian Ziegler is also alleged to have secretly videotaped the sexual encounters between the couple and the woman, sources said, According to NBC News, the Sarasota County Florida School Board passed a resolution Monday night calling for the resignation of board member Bridget Ziegler, the wife of the Republican Party chairman Christian Ziegler, who is under investigation in connection with allegations of rape and sexual battery. The move, which was passed in a 4-1 vote with Bridget Ziegler in opposition, is non-binding, but it was a significant bipartisan showing against Ziegler, a high-profile conservative activist. Ziegler has also faced criticism from those who have said she's a hypocrite because she has advocated a far-right agenda that has included being publicly against the LGBT community, including helping craft legislation that banned the discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity in classrooms up until the third grade. Supporters said the bill was about parental empowerment, while opponents dubbed it, quote-unquote, don't say gay. Meanwhile, Mrs. Honey is engaging in a menage a trois. So, yeah, this is a bit on the hypocritical side. I was like, okay, yeah, this is a little hypocritical. You want to talk about gay people, but you're having threesomes with your wild husband. You know, again, this is that whole, you know, don't do as I do as I say thing. So we'll see how that all turns out. We will see how it turns out. Because even the Republican GOP in Florida is a little uptight with Mr. Ziegler. And we're going to see what happens. Again, you can't hear me. They can't hear me again, Doc. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not audible. Hear you fine.
You can hear me fine? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on tonight. Okay, all right.
I don't know.
All right, I'll keep going.
And everybody's mic is on except for one caller at 862. We tried to cut that mic. I don't know why they can't hear you.
It's okay. Okay. All right, well, I'll keep going. We'll see.
I hear you.
Okay.
Back to Mr. Ziegler.
Next up. Okay. Thanks, Doc.
All right.
All right, next up, I recently decided to retrieve some information about Trump's Project 2025 plan, okay? Hopefully, you all will get a better understanding of how these people plan to operate, okay? I don't know why I have some listeners saying that they can only hear the music again. Oh, boy. This is weird to me, but okay. All right, moving on. So what you're about to hear was taken directly from the Project2025.org website. So listen and learn. The actions of liberal politicians in Washington have created a desperate need and unique opportunity. Okay, my husband's getting the music too, Doc. It's classical music he's getting.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't know.
This
is what he hears. So him and other listeners are hearing this classical music.
That is so crazy because I'm not hearing it. And I'm in the queue like everybody else. I just called from the regular number.
862-766. This is Dawn. Can you text me and let me know if you hear me, Dawn? I'm wondering if it's just for the people who are online.
Right. You mean that's listening via the internet?
Yeah, because whoever's on the phone, I guess, can hear me, but whoever's online can't. Now, Dawn says that she can hear me because she's on the phone. Honey, let me see your phone real quick. Yeah, let me, I'm going to see, I'm going to change this for my husband.
That's a pretty awesome violin.
I know. Okay, I stopped that. I'm gonna call on his phone. Why am I retarded right now?
What am I missing to the table?
I don't think it's the right thing. Wait, give me a second. We're going to work. We're going to figure this out, Doc. We're going to figure this out. Jesus, Lord.
I hope so, because I'm definitely want to hear the rest of 2025.
All right. And I'm going to keep on going because I know everybody, Dawn can hear me and everybody else can hear me. So we're going to see what we can do. All right. Okay, moving forward. You have it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold.
All right, so I have my husband call in now. And I'm going to send this to some people. Interesting. This is interesting. Okay.
I'm going to turn his mic on.
Yeah, you don't need to, though. He can hear it.
He can hear? Okay.
Yeah, he can hear. Yeah, so we can. All right, I'm going to go on and move forward. I sent the phone number to some other people. I'm going to let some other people know, too, that they can call. One second. Interesting. All right, moving on. I'm going to start over again because I'm going over project2025.org. This is on their website. And their plan is quite interesting. You know, these people, number one, it seems to me that they're hell-bent on going back in time. It seems like they really, really want a level of control that we really haven't seen maybe since, like, the McCarthy era. This is something really, really uncomfortable and interesting. So it states, the actions of liberal politicians in Washington have created a desperate need and unique opportunity for conservatives to start undoing the damage the left has wrought and build a better country for all Americans in 2025. Frightening as this seems to me. It is not enough for conservatives to win elections. If we're going to rescue the country from the grip of the radical left, we need both a government agenda and the right people in place to carry this agenda out on day one of the next conservative administration. I was like, interesting how they so sure of themselves with this whole winning this next election. Anyway, this is the goal of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. The project will build on four pillars that will collectively pave the way for an effective conservative administration. A policy agenda, personnel, training, and a 180-day playbook. The project is the effort of a broad coalition of conservative organizations that have come together to ensure a successful administration begins in January 2025. This is where it gets really special. With the right conservative policy recommendations and properly vetted and trained personnel to implement them, we will take back our government. Again, anybody who just logged on just now, I am reading directly from the project2025.org website, which is the plan that Trump and the conservatives wish to institute. God forbid if this idiot becomes president, just saying. Okay? Oof. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project is being organized by the Heritage Foundation and builds off Heritage's longstanding, quote, mandate for leadership, end quote, which has been highly influential for presidential administrations since the Reagan era. I was like, we're going back to the Reagan era? Anyway. Most recently, the Trump administration relied heavily on Heritage's mandate for policy guidance embracing nearly two-thirds of Heritage's proposals within just 1 year in office. So basically what it sounds like to me, quick pause, our government is going to be run by ideas from the Heritage Foundation, for real? This is what they plan to do. All right, moving on. Paul Danz, former chief of staff at the Office of Personnel Management during the Trump administration, served as the director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. Spencer Creighton, former special assistant to the president and associate director of presidential personnel, serves as associate director of the project. After that, it has the pictures and titles of these idiots, as well as opportunity for various minions to sign up or ask questions on the website. This is really something that they plan to implement. But what's scary about it is that it goes against everything our government is supposed to exemplify. The Heritage Foundation already has all of these plans that are ready to go. If the idiot comes back into office, are we serious? The Heritage Foundation, whose heritage? We know whose heritage they talk about. They damn sure ain't talking about no Native American heritage. I know that off the cuff. This is as bad as like having the Daughters of the Revolution lay out a plan for the entire next presidential period, 4 years, of course, which is not necessarily in favor of people who have an abundance of melanin in their skin, whether they be Native American, African American, Caribbean American, African, Mexican, Latinx, any of the above. Nope. This ain't good. This is so not good. So just think on that for a minute. Do yourself a good solid and go to project2025.org so you can read the madness for yourself. Mother didn't make anything up. Trust and believe. All right? Next up, why is Rudy Duty Giuliani continuing to lie to the cameras about his defamation case with sisters Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss? Okay, he has lost badly, I must say. And these two women have the power to drain his bank accounts and leave him in his drawers without any hair dye necessary. Okay, he won't even be able to afford hair dye. How does one leave a courthouse where one is found guilty in a defamation case, but once he creeps outside onto the steps or the sidewalk, he says that what he's been saying is true. You admitted in the courthouse that you lied. You admitted in the courthouse that what you said wasn't true. So in the courthouse, it wasn't true, and you're still going to, you know, you're sued and what have you, but then you come outside and say it's true. How stupid can one be? We're talking about somebody who was an actual attorney at law. We're talking about someone who was the mayor of New York. What? So, as a result of his lies and him throwing their names around all the time, both of these women have been constantly targeted and threatened as a result of his behavior and statements. How is this all right? It's not. Okay? Please take a moment and see the gross racial discrimination that continues to flow from Rudy Duty's mouth. Now, as a result of his lies against these two women, he has been ordered to pay a whopping $148 million to them. It's really like $148 million, okay? $148 million. The judge originally ordered the $48 million. However, the jury has awarded an additional $100 million because he continued to place them in danger. They had to leave their homes. They spent thousands of dollars in moving from Airbnb to Airbnb just to stay alive. Now, on the flip side, Rudy Doody is kind of broke. His main asset right now is the $6.1 million apartment in New York City. It was put on the market. Nobody bought it. But I think that, just for the sake of things, it should be given to Ms. Roby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Freeman Moss. How about that? Let them get the Upper East Side apartment worth $6.1 million. Just saying, we are watching the Conservative Party attempt to, and in some ways, turn back the hands of time to bring back not only censoring of education, but they want to bring back enslavement. Enslavement actually hasn't gone anywhere because it just shifted over to the prison industrial complex. Okay? So, as far as I'm concerned, Rudy Giuliani needs to be humbled. He needs to stop lying, gain some humility, okay? And from the looks of things, honestly, to me, Rudy Giuliani is the Penguin and Trump is the Joker, okay? And I'm waiting for Batman to come and just shut the whole thing down, okay? How about that? That would be a novel idea. Moving on. Let's see, I just got another message. Let me give this person the phone number since we're having so much trouble. Da, 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 da. First of the night, right, fam? All right. But you know, no monkey ain't gonna stop no show. And super, super shout out to Dr. James Limborn for allowing this to continue to happen because I didn't know what to do. All right. As of last week, Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader, lawyer, and anti-corruption activist, who had organized anti-government demonstrations and ran for office to advocate reforms against corruption in Russia, against President Vladimir Putin and his government, is missing. Navalny was a Russian opposition coordination council member. He is the leader of the Russia of the Future Party and founder of the Anti-Corruption Foundation. Foundation. He is recognized by Amnesty International as a prisoner of conscience and was awarded the Sakharov Prize for his work on human rights. He's being held in prison in Russia, but apparently Boo-Boo is missing. I was like, missing? His allies say that he's missing in one of the country's prison systems since December 6th and was reportedly moved from a prison outside of Moscow. However, his lawyers have not been told where he was moved to, so they don't know where he is. And the Russian prison system isn't telling them, where he is. Imagine having a client in prison and you go to visit them and they're not there and you don't know where they are and nobody's telling you where they are. What's going on in Russia? Okay, we already know it's a communist society. We already know Putin is God over there. So, and we know he doesn't play fairly. So where is Navalny? And you know, Putin recently announced that he will be seeking re-election for presidency. But where is Navalny? How do you have someone in a prison system and now they're missing? Their lawyers don't know where they are? Because that's a little bit interesting. Next up, I don't know if you all are aware of the story that happened at a Georgia middle school where a teacher was arrested last week and accused of threatening a student. Let's go into that real quick. Benjamin Reese, 51, Jewish, seventh grade teacher at Warner Robins Middle School, was arrested on December 8th of charges of terroristic threats and cruelty to children in the third degree, according to the Houston County Sheriff's Office. According to NBC News, on December 7th, a Georgia middle school teacher was arrested and accused of threatening to behead a student. She told him that the Israeli flag in his classroom was offensive, authorities said. Benjamin Reese, 51, has been arrested on charges. An incident report from the sheriff's office lists 18 juvenile witnesses and multiple teachers and adults who overheard Reese's alleged comments on December 7th. One witness told police they heard Reese tell a student that he was going to, quote, cut her head off, end quote, the incident report stated. A teacher said they had heard Reese yelling about a flag and calling a student anti-Semitic, the incident report said. The educator also told officials Reese shouted that he was going to slit the student's throat, drag her outside, and cut her head off, according to the report. Reese could not immediately be reached for comment Friday at $500 in bond on Sunday and was released from the Houston County Detention Center, according to the representative of the facility. He requested a public defender, but no attorney filed to represent him as of Friday, according to the district attorney's office in Houston County. The Houston County School District said that Reese has not returned to the middle school since the incident, and in a statement, it said district teachers are required to follow a code of ethics, and if there is an accusation, the code was broken. The district investigates and responds appropriately. Quote, safety and the well-being of our students and staff is our number one priority, end quote, the statement said. The student, who was the focus of Reese's comments, told an officer with the sheriff's office assigned to the middle school that she and two friends were walking past his classroom when she noticed the Israeli flag. The three students went into the classroom to ask about the flag because she found it offensive. The student then told Reese she found the flag offensive because Israelis are killing Palestinians. Then Reese began asking if she denied the right of Israel to exist and called the student anti-Semitic, the incident report said. The students then left the classroom and were followed by Mr. Reese, who shouted vulgarities at them in the hallway, according to the incident report. The officer assigned to the school and the school's principal confronted Reese while he was preparing to leave his classroom. Reese said he called the student anti-Semitic. He went on to say that he hadn't said anything racist, end quote. When the officer began questioning Reese, he stopped talking about his alleged comments. Now, the Georgia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CAIR, said in a statement, quote,